Hi, this is Steve Kovsky, and thanks for tuning into this podcast. The following conversation took place before a live audience at the RSA Show in San Francisco in February of 2020, a week after CrowdStrike announced the appointment of Mike Sentonas to the position of Chief Technology Officer. Welcome, everybody. I manage content for CrowdStrike. I'm also a contributing editor for Information Week and spent about 20 years as a journalist before I got roped into marketing, but I've never looked back, and what a great company to be affiliated with. And it's my distinct pleasure today to be sitting here with Mr. Michael Sentonas, who is our newly installed Chief Technology Officer for CrowdStrike.
Thanks everyone for coming along.
We're going to start out by just getting a little background on Mike. What was your career leading up to joining CrowdStrike a few years ago?
So I'm not new to CrowdStrike. It's coming up to 4 years for me here. Prior to my current role, I was the Vice President of Technology Strategy. So a global role, spending a lot of time traveling around the world, spending time with customers, the internal teams, a lot of media, working with analysts. So I know the team really well, amazing team that we have here. Prior to that, I came over from Intel Security, I think it was at the time, McAfee and Intel. So I spent a long time there. A couple of different roles. I was the worldwide CTO for Security Connected, CTO for Asia Pacific as well. So a lot of my time has always been international. So spending a lot of time in the US, across Europe, you know, over 100 times to Singapore, 5 to 10 times a year to the US. So yeah, 22 years in the industry. Time flies.
Currently based in Australia?
Yeah, in Sydney.
So in your previous role at McAfee, Intel, what have you, you got to know the founders of CrowdStrike really well. So it was a natural transition for you to come here when the company was still relatively young?
Yes, I've known George Kurtz since 2004 when he was the CEO of Foundstone and he sold his company to McAfee. Then I worked for George for a number of years, and I was a peer to my predecessor, Dimitri. So I know the guys really, really well. We've spent a lot of time visiting customers around the world together, trying to understand challenges, what they're looking for, what technology problems they're trying to solve. So when the opportunity came up to come over to CrowdStrike, it was a two-second decision.
How is it different visiting customers as a CrowdStrike executive versus as an other also ran executive?
Very, very different. CrowdStrike customers just, you know, they welcome you with open arms. It's wanting to talk about what problems we can solve together. They love the technology. They want more access to telemetry. They want to know what modules are coming out, what integrations are happening. I spent a lot of time dealing with people that had problems and the security technologies for 10 different reasons failed. And unfortunately, when you fail with ransomware, you're dealing with people that have had environments encrypted, people that have been breached. You're talking to organizations that are struggling with security products because they have 20 of them that they want to optimize. So for me, it was very different. And I had the opportunity to go and speak to some of CrowdStrike's big reference customers when I came over nearly 4 years ago. They talked a lot about why they loved it. They're wearing T-shirts. Which is quite a strange thing when you first come in and you see people just so passionate about the brand, which is awesome.
Yeah. People weren't clamoring for T-shirts at the previous vendors.
Not my experience,
no. No. Okay, good. Well, that's a good change. What are some of the things that you're excited about here at RSA?
You know, the first thing that I'd say is I love the theme, the human element theme. Because if I think about CrowdStrike, one of the key aspects that we've been trying to tell people about for many years is that this isn't a problem that's just solved with technology. And if you look at CrowdStrike, it's the combination of amazing technology with people, our hunting services with Overwatch, our threat intel teams, working together with our services group. And it's the combination of the people, the process, the technology that solves the problem. So to see the theme being the human element, for me, it's fantastic because that's the only way we solve this problem. There's an amazing amount of technology here, but it solves a small fraction. And when we think about the techniques that adversaries are using, they are starting to work out how to bypass next-gen AV products. They're working out how to bypass a lot of security controls. And without the human element, we will fail as an industry. So I start there.
You know, it's interesting because one of the things that CrowdStrike also brought to the market was pointing out the fact that the human element is really the nature of the threat as well. There's humans on the other side of this equation, and then we have all of the
imagery that our amazing graphics team has brought to life of what the adversaries kind of look like in our minds and given them names that the entire industry uses now. So that's another way that the human element really is integral to this problem and solving it.
Well, behind every attack is a person, and that person has a motivation. They're driven to make money. It could be a nation state that's looking to get defense secrets. Unpacking and understanding those motivations has a massive difference in your ability to defend against that attack. And that's one of the reasons why we look to combine the technology, the cutting edge graph architecture that we have with Overwatch hunting, with the threat intelligence, with the services, and that's how we solve the problem. That's how ultimately we stop breaches.
Can you recap some of the important things that we've been talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of exciting announcements. A few that resonate with me is our focus on cloud workload security and protection. Obviously, we're born in the cloud. We are native cloud architecture, and we've had a lot of technology to provide security hygiene as people start to move more and more of their workloads to the cloud. And we focus traditionally on AWS. We've made announcements today and yesterday around that capability extending into Google GCP, into Microsoft Azure, the ability to auto-provision the sensor into Google GCP environments as well. You know, unfortunately, some people that become CrowdStrike customers have come to us because they've had a different product that failed, they've had an incident, they've had a breach, they've asked us to help them with recovery. So one of the new announcements that we've also made is around an endpoint recovery service, so that when people do find themselves unfortunately having a problem, we can accelerate the time to help them recover as quickly as possible, to help them remediate and get safe and secure and get their business up and running again very, very quickly. A lot of new announcements, not only just here at RSA in the last few days around our firewall module, extending the capability of our endpoint to allow people to manage and configure their Windows firewall with a single agent. For me, simplicity is huge. One of the worst things that you can do in security is have a complex architecture. So the more capability that we can combine into that single agent architecture is incredibly important. We've announced a number of new integrations as well. So our CrowdStrike Store ecosystem, we've announced more integration with other vendors. Partnership is extending with ServiceNow as an example. So everyone needs to get and have a look at the demos, because there's just so much that we are constantly releasing. It's a big few days for us.
Now, you've been an observer of the industry for a long time. I think when I saw your first blog that you submitted when you joined CrowdStrike, and it was, I think, in some ways, predicting some of the consolidation and some of the failures that we've seen with older architectures. As you look around at this show, it's hard to draw the conclusion that it's contracting as an industry, but we have seen a lot of changes. Could you give me that from your view?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, one of the things that I look at, the industry has changed dramatically over the last 5 years, but the pace of change in the last 12 months has been staggering. And I think if you put yourself in the minds of an end user, of an organization that's here, it's really hard, because people have made decisions on buying technology. My experience, people don't buy a product for 12 months. They look for 2 for 3 years. And there's a lot of people that are walking around looking for a replacement to technology that they acquired, and the vendor that sold it doesn't exist. And that's quite unique in our space. You know, we've seen a number of acquisitions. We've seen a number of organizations kind of realize it's getting quite hard. So companies being broken apart. And that creates a lot of uncertainty. So a lot of people that I've spoken to are nervous. A lot of people, as they look at more niche vendors, are nervous about those. So, you know, I think about what impact that may have on innovation, because if you go back 3, 4, 5 years ago, people were eager to adopt bleeding edge. But now a lot of people are saying, well, I'm not sure if that company exists in 6 months, 12 months.
Interesting.
And it's been interesting in the industry for the last, as I said, 12 months to 5 years. If you go back and you have a look, a little while ago, you knew the top 3 or 4 vendors. And they're certainly not representative about with regards to what people are talking about today. And that's, you know, even the next gen players have changed really aggressively over the last 12 months.
So traditionally it's been a choice between the large suites that are kind of a conglomeration of many technologies buying up some of the niche vendors, trying integrating those to some degree into these large product suites. And then you do have the niche vendors that are just going after a little piece of the cybersecurity puzzle and leaving it up to end users really to try to knit that all together and make it work. Is that changing now?
Not as quick as you'd think. And one of the things that I always look at when I talk to a lot of organizations, they've got a business to run. You know, unless they've built an organization to be a systems integrator, they don't want to stitch 20 products together, you know, 10 products together. And that's been the problem with the industry. You've seen a lot of the big players, and you know, we know who they are. They've gone out and bought and acquired 10, 15 different vendors, 20. I've had experience with seeing 20 integrations, attempted integrations, and they don't work. And the combination of network and endpoint, and it hasn't worked. We've seen that in the industry multiple times. It's hard to integrate. And the people that unfortunately suffer are the end users. And you think about the end user experience, multiple reboots to roll out new components, new modules, multiple management servers. Think about what it takes an organization to respond to an incident when they have five places to look. So how do they fix it? They go and buy a SIEM. That becomes another product that they have to roll out. They have to get telemetry from multiple systems into the next one. And that complexity just causes more and more problems. And that's why you see from a CrowdStrike perspective why the story resonates so heavily, because we can install within 10 seconds. The end user experience, they see a pop-up, you can also suppress that. The agent's running, doesn't slow down their system. They can keep doing their business, they can run games, they can do whatever they want to do, but they know that they're always safe and secure.
Now, another thing that you have a unique insight on, I think, is the global situation. And the U.S. seems to be a year or two ahead of many of the regions of the world in terms of adopting newer technologies, including the cloud. Are there some regions where there's still sort of a cloud-averse attitude in general, or in particular towards security?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we do see similar maturity to the U.S. in some parts of the world. So obviously I'm biased, being from Australia. You know, Australia do adopt a lot of technology, very aggressive at adopting the bleeding edge, similar to the U.S. And of course, you see that across Europe as well. But to your point, there's a few countries that are a little bit more cloud averse. There's some interesting data privacy regulations you need to be aware of when you do business in Korea. Singapore have had a few issues, so they're quite nervous about having public infrastructure and public offices connect to the cloud. Of course, GDPR has driven a lot of interesting data privacy changes and regulations, certainly when you look at countries like Germany. But for us, we have an amazing team that look at data privacy, that look at the regulations, that understand the public policy positions. And the thing for us is to make sure that we're very clear about the telemetry, how we handle it, how we secure it, to manage the cloud architecture, and it hasn't been an inhibitor to what we do.
CrowdStrike actually can help companies become more compliant.
I mean, we've seen massive adoption of the technology in banking and finance, as you would expect. But interesting verticals, aviation. I mean, they manage so much data and important information that security is incredibly important. Telcos around the world. And if you read our threat reports, telcos are aggressively attacked, both by e-crime actors and a number of different nation states. But I think the point that you make is really important, because when people think about GDPR, the natural response is, it's a cloud platform. Am I going to have a GDPR problem? And the answer is actually, we are going to help accelerate your path to being GDPR compliant, because you have so much visibility. You know, I always chuckle when the industry argues about prevention versus detection. You can't do either without great visibility, which is what we were founded on.
Right.
So there's a lot of other ways that we can help an organization with hygiene, with compliance, as well as prevention, detection, of course, response, and stopping a breach.
At this point in the conversation, we took a few questions from the audience.
MITRE ATT&CK framework and why that matters. Testing and validating products, I think, for the majority of organizations in the world is really hard. So I look at any testing as a great thing. And I'm as a security practitioner, Those that know me know that I talk a lot about MITRE and the ATT&CK framework. Our industry, you know, is amazing, but can also be quite hard for people. We talk with military terms and adversaries and nation states. And one of the things that I like about MITRE is it's very easy for people to understand the tactics and the techniques an adversary uses. They can see how our technology would protect them against those techniques. So I think any sort of validation testing is a good thing. We need more of it in the industry because it helps people work out how a product or a service would respond in a real world scenario. And ultimately, that's the best comfort that people can get when they look at a technology.
Well, I've been told by customers that it really helps them with their, I won't say entry level, but new people into the organization are able to master this very quickly, and a level one tech can function as a level two. It really up-levels the whole operation, and I think the MITRE framework, the way it's baked into the interface, everything that they're experiencing in the CrowdStrike UI is a big part of that.
We've mapped everything that we do to MITRE. So if you look at all of our descriptions in the UI, we're very clear to use the same language, to reference MITRE, to make it easy for everybody that use it. And that uses the platform, because I go back to the comment that I made about simplicity. We have to upskill everybody. And the more people that get access, that can make decisions really, really quickly, that can follow playbooks, they understand a scenario that they can respond and pivot to a response, that maps to what we talk about when we talk about the 1-10-60 rule. You know, a minute to detect, 10 minutes to investigate, 60 to respond. So those simple descriptions help people to directionally get to that 1-10-60 point.
I can't believe we're out of time. I'd like to sit here and talk with you for another hour or so. We didn't even get to the threat report, which is coming out next week. Mike is a premier spokesperson for CrowdStrike. You're going to be seeing a lot of his name everywhere as we come out with those new findings. So stay tuned for that. Last question, Mike, is this is such a crowded, noisy environment. How does CrowdStrike stand out among all of this? Why should people be coming into this booth to check out what we've got here?
That's a great question. And I think the best reference for me is we stopped and attempted 35,000 breaches last year. And simply the technology works. It's easy to deploy, it's easy to use, and it prevents the breach. So when people are coming around, see the demo. We've got an amazing team here. But I always like to say, test it for yourself. Grab one of the free trials, get a test drive, get a proof of value. See how the technology would work in your environment. And I think in my experience, when people get to see how the technology works, when they see suddenly the visibility that they get, the decision to move across is a pretty quick one.
They try it and they buy it. What more can you say?
Simple as that.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Sentonas, our Chief Technology Officer. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mike.
Cheers.
Thanks again for tuning into this podcast interview with new CrowdStrike CTO, Mike Sentonas. A video version of this interview is also available at crowdstrike.com/resources, where you can find a wealth of information about the award-winning CrowdStrike Falcon platform. For CrowdStrike, this is Steve Kovsky.